You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
I'm waiting for more. There's always something more. Just, hey, that's all you got, hey.
I thought I'd keep it simple this week.
All right, I like that.
Hey's, you know, good. I'm a little low key.
Hey's
I'm
all right.
Tired.
Yeah,
I just got
I like
back
that.
From
sure.
the just got back from the Virginia PPA conference, VPPA, in beautiful Newport News, Virginia, and it was a lot of hard work. I had a whole day class on the Thursday. We had some hardcore judging going on Friday, and then Saturday I taught another 3-hour class, and just, you know, wiped out.
Yeah, so. I bet you are. Yeah. I'm going up there in August, I think.
For the summer seminar. Yeah,
the summer seminar. Yeah.
I saw they were advertising for you and the other speakers for the summer seminars, and they've got your picture and class description up there already. They are already psyched on the Boo.
All right. Well, I'm very excited.
They're drinking the Boo-laid.
Oh, the Boo-laid.
Ah!
Proud of that, are you?
Yeah, just literally came up with that. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you believe that I can come up with stuff like that on the fly?
I thought that was, you know, like, paneled.
Normally something that good, I'm thinking about that in the shower 3 days before, but that was right off the cuff. So
okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome.
Hey, I heard a joke today.
Oh, boy.
I heard a joke today, and I'm trying to imagine if I can tell it. I think this involves the male appendage. So if your children are listening and you don't want them to hear a joke regarding that,
oh boy,
perhaps you shouldn't. I was listening to a podcast today. It was Ray Romano, and he was talking about when he tours and does his shows with David Spade. At the end of their show, they do a Q&A, and then they finish with an actual jokey joke.
Okay.
I guess the idea being, here's something that you to take home, something a jokey joke you can tell your friends,
right,
and so
right.
This is Ray Romano's jokey joke.
Okay.
So please, a man is in an accident. He wakes up in the hospital, and the doctor comes to him and says, "The good news is we were able to save your life. The bad news is we were not able to save your penis. However, we can do reconstructive surgery, and you're going to be fine. Now, we've talked to your insurance company, and your insurance company has offered to put up $12,000 towards this surgery. It's going to cost you $1,000 an inch. Now, you get to decide, do you want to spend the whole $12,000 on inches or less or whatever? You need to go home. You need to discuss it with your wife and then come back and let us know exactly how much we are to apply towards the inches." And he says, "All right, I'll do that." He goes home. A couple days later, he comes back, talks to the doctor. The doctor says, "Great, you went home. You talked to your wife. And what did you decide?" And the man says, "We're getting granite countertops."
That's a good joke, right?
You like that?
That's priceless.
That's great, isn't it? Listen, a really good joke, I'll write that down and put it in my phone, because having a really good jokey joke is rare, because about 95% of them are just, you laugh, you go, ha-ha. But one that you actually laugh, go, that's a strong joke, and that is a strong joke.
That's a strong joke, but it has to be to the right crowd, because you want it to be mostly people who've been married for
sure.
More than a little while, because those are the ones
right.
who... 'cause the best jokes always ring of truth.
Yes,
you know, and they have multiple
there.
Layers.
$12,000? I'd like new countertops in the kitchen. Much more than I would, you know. Talk it over with your wife.
That's great. I'm going to use that.
Good joke.
That is awesome.
All right, so you can come back now. You can turn us back on. Of course, if you turned us off, you're not listening to us. You don't know that. So
it's okay. The only thing that was said was penis, but you are going to have to explain
right.
to your children what that meant. But anyway.
As well as granite countertops.
Granite countertops, yes, not marble.
And their importance thereof.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So, what's been going on with you this week? I haven't talked to you. I've been traveling. What's up?
I did a bar mitzvah this weekend. Posted a picture online. Let me tell you something, Mr. Hughes.
Okay, I'm listening.
When you send me the text and you say, hey, I love that picture you posted online, touches my heart in a very special place.
Is that right?
Yes, it does.
Right,
and, yeah, when I, for you to actually reach out to me and go, hey, I love that picture you posted, that's like, hey, that makes me feel good. There isn't much that makes me feel good in this world.
At this point, I'm mostly a husk.
Yeah. But also, always surprised because the pictures you do that with are never the ones that I'm like, oh, that's going to be a huge, people are going to love that. It's always a different reason. Or I don't know, but the ones you pick out, I like them. But it's rarely like the one that I would think is a showcase image or something.
Well, I like it. There's a million reasons to like a photo. You talk about one from the recent mitzvah that you photographed,
yeah.
Black and
you
white.
You actually texted me. You liked it on Instagram, commented on Instagram, and then texted me today to tell me that you liked it. I'm like, wow,
yeah, man,
he must really like it.
Well, I'm glad that I'm able to sort of reach out and finger the cockles of your heart.
You do. So there were some cockles.
Stuff. I fingered the cockles of your heart.
They were warm and fingered.
Well, no, it's great. If you don't follow Bure on Instagram, make sure you go do that. It's just at Bure, I think, right? Is that, or at Bure Perry or something like that?
It's on Instagram, it's Bure Perry. Yeah.
There you go.
Just
so
put in
Bure,
you're going to find me.
So I pop it up. I mean, you post so little that I like that when you do,
you
I
go.
Just wanted to make a big deal out
exactly.
of it.
Hey, something very cool, though, at the bar mitzvah I worked this weekend, two things. One, there's always flowers at the family buys flowers for the bima, which is what they call the dais at the temple, and they always buy flowers. And this year, when I was doing this one, they didn't have flowers. They had big, giant boxes of food that they had decorated with ribbons and stuff in the color of the bar mitzvah. They had, instead of flowers, they were big boxes of food that they were donating to a food drive after the She said, I just can't fathom spending all that money on flowers and then they're just going to go to waste when I could spend that money on food. And I was like, wow, hello, make us all feel terrible.
No, that's the result of the generation. The kids that are coming up now, they're the most socially conscious generation.
No, I got to say, it wasn't the girl. The girl could probably care less about whether there's flowers or not. It was the mom.
But her mom's probably a millennial.
Right. Well, her mom, it could be. You're right. Well,
yeah.
I come to find out, her mom is also chairman of the board for the last 12 years for a charity here in Tampa called Joshua House, which works with kids who have been abused and needy kids and stuff like that. I've donated to them myself. So you're on the board of for a charity like that for a long time. You start to just think all the time in terms of how can I do good easily. And
yeah.
You're going to spend money on flowers anyway. So instead of spending money on flowers, we're going to spend money on... And I just thought, wouldn't this be a great trend? Sorry, florists, but wouldn't this be a great trend at places of worship all over the country where if there's some, instead of table, the thing in the middle of the table setting thing, the centerpiece. Instead of the expensive centerpiece, what if it was some sort of a... What if someone could make, this just occurred to me, what if someone could make centerpieces that were decorative and cool, but they were made out of food items that were then donated after the wedding?
Like a tower made of Campbell's soup cans.
Or something like that, but still would look cool in some way, and then, I guess that's not a bad idea. That's an idea. Somebody needs to get on that.
I think you just started an online company that's going to be worth a lot of money. Like,
right.
They do have edible arrangements, but I think that's totally another thing. You know?
Right. Well, you're supposed to eat that right there.
So you want edible arrangements, but something that was like non-perishable.
Non-perishable edible arrangements that can then be donated to a food bank or charity.
When you have a really good idea like this, could you please not put it on the podcast so that we can
I know.
We can just... form an LLC and then start making a few million bucks.
Right.
What
there
the heck
go.
Is the matter with
there you?
You
go. Also, another thing happened. I was photographing a couple, and the man said, can you, is this going to be visible? And he pointed his lip, and he had a little scar on his lip. I guess he'd had a little something removed there. He said, is this going to be visible? And I said, well, I can fix that later, if we have to, and I'll also turn you away. And he said, okay, because he was concerned about that being visible. And what was interesting was he was... 85 if he was a day, and he was concerned about a little something on his lip.
A slight discoloration on his lip.
I would like to think that at some point I have zero F's to give about what I look like. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to that day. I'm so looking forward to the day when I no longer want to see the picture you took of me because I just don't care.
Yeah, that's got to be something. There's got to be a correlation of age versus every year past the age of 65, you give one less F.
Right, but this guy did. This guy had
to be 80. He probably hadn't got to the age where he gave up the what's on my upper lip F.
Yeah.
which is the year after you get the I've got a stain on my tie F, And then, like, right before the my zipper's down, F, that's, right. like, 90. When you get to, I don't care if my zipper's down. Right. So that sort of thing, right. you know. So right. He just hasn't lost that one yet.
Socks and sandals.
Yeah, I did a job this last week. I photographed a partner in a very big law firm. And I photographed this guy. Every time I go out, I photograph a few new people who they've hired. And every time I go, I photograph the same guy who's one of the principal partners over and over and over again because he's never completely satisfied with the way that he looks. And so every time he does it, and I'm like, you know, if he's one of the principal partners and I never take a picture of him that he likes, why do they keep hiring me?
Right. You never liked the picture. How come I haven't been fired by now?
But I'm glad that they do. Apparently everyone else likes the pictures, but there you go. So, you know, some people are just more concerned than others. Some people, and that's fine. I once was shooting a wedding where the uncle of the bride had, and I was doing family portraits, had spilled red wine all over the left side of his shirt. And he had a big red wine stain near kind of the shoulder joint. And he's obviously he's not sober. And so he's standing there and goes, hey, did you fix this in Photoshop? And I said, sure, man. And I just put him on the other side of the family group and turned him the other way.
Yeah.
I said, you've been Photoshopped.
Fixed.
There it is. Fixed. Done. Done and done.
So this happened today. I was driving to pick up my daughter and I missed. Well, let's see. What's the best order in which to tell this story? First, let's start with this. My wife has an app on her phone that tracks all the other phones in the family.
Okay.
So we can pull up on her phone and find out exactly where the kids are.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common these days.
Including me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to pick up my daughter, and I'm driving down the road, and I miss the turn. I'm like, oh, that was the turn. So I go up here, and I make a U-turn. So I go up here, and I go to make a U-turn at the light. My phone rings. I click, hello, it's Bobby. Hey, did you miss your turn for the picking up Mackenzie? And I'm like, well, it's odd you should ask. She goes, well, because Mackenzie just called and said, you know, she thought you'd be there by now. And I'm like, well, in fact, I did miss my turn. I'm making a U-turn right now. It's odd you should call at that exact moment. She goes, well, I looked you up on the app and I can see that you missed the turn. I said, oh, this is great. So now you can backseat drive when you're not even in the car. When you're not even in the car, you can just call and go, what are you doing? It's right there. Why didn't you turn left? Not even in the car. With me all the time in spirit.
That's a marriage killer right there.
It really is.
Very possible. That could really cause some serious troubles because the one thing I love about driving by myself is I never do anything wrong.
Exactly.
But when I'm in the car and I'm driving the family around, I never do anything right.
You know what else is a marriage killer? Granite countertops. I was waiting because I figured you'd hit that. I figured when I laid that softball up for you, I figured you'd have it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not as skilled in the art of comedy.
You've been traveling, though. You've been traveling.
I'm very tired. I got home. My, you know, my poor wife has been taking care of the two kids by herself for days and without any relief. Like, at least she does that all day. At least I come home at some point, and then, you know, there are two of us. And so I get home, and the first thing I do when I get home is like, Daddy's going to go lay down.
Yeah.
I'm very tired from all the traveling. And, you know, and she's such a champion. She's like, yeah, honey, you do need to rest. I'm only, you know, taking care of your children and your house for you while you go out and go to conventions and stuff. So no big deal. You know what? 30 more minutes isn't going to matter in 30 more minutes. So.
She's a saint, your wife.
She is a saint.
Okay, we have two stories today that we want to talk about. What order do you want to hit these?
Well, before we do this, let's do the stories. We'll do the field trip story, and then we'll wrap with the other.
Okay,
right. But before we do that, I have been shamelessly begging, reminding our listeners about the importance of leaving us a good review on iTunes and how that's been affecting our podcast. And so we have a goal to get to 100 reviews. And this started when we had about 61 or 62 reviews. This was 2 weeks ago. And so now we've had several of our tens of listeners step up to leave reviews for us. So I just want to highlight a couple of those as promised. There's a couple of real gems in here, Boo.
Okay.
There are a couple of real gems. And just to remind you of the deal, if we get to 100 reviews on iTunes, we are going to start doing bonus episode for you. So every time we hit a goal, we're going to give you a bonus episode in the middle of the week, maybe like a mini photo bomb to just catch you up. So you not only will you get us at the beginning of the week, those of you who wait for Monday to come around, You'll also get us another day in that week as long as we hit that review target. So we're at 79 right now. We went from 62 to 79. So that's pretty good for our, you know, unengaged, lazy audience. I'm really proud of you guys. Some of you guys actually like got off the couch. Wait, you don't even have to do that. Some of you guys reached over, leaned far enough to pick your phone up and opened iTunes and then figured out how to leave a review. I mean, really means a lot. And so I want to highlight some of my favorites from these people who've left some really great reviews. First one is from Gure the Gay Blade.
All right.
The title is, You Should Be Ashamed.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I, for one, will not give in to the pandering of Boo-Ray and Gary for a podcast review. I don't care that the podcast is the funniest on iTunes or that I learn about current topics in photography. I don't care that the two hosts have great chemistry and make any topic interesting. I will not be pressured to leave a review on how great a podcast I think this is and how I appreciate the time and effort that is put into it. If that's the type of review that's wanted, then they could bribe me with something better than extra episodes.
So. All right. You see what he did there. Or she.
I see.
It was a little twist. It was good.
Gure the Gay Blade. Thank you.
It was good.
For that.
Very, very nice.
Incidentally, a five-star review from you.
Yeah. Wait. What was the last part again? Like the last couple of sentences there?
It says, effort. The effort. Yeah.
The effort that goes in. Okay. That, we need to correct that right away.
Well, there's not a lot of effort.
There's no effort whatsoever.
No. Zero effort. Okay. So we got one from Joanne Hinkey. Joanna Hinkey, I think. So you have to listen to really understand that.
All right.
Says, love listening to Boo and Gary when I'm driving to and from jobs. I've gone back and listened to all the episodes. Oh, and don't get too excited, middle-aged man here, using my girlfriend's account because I don't have iTunes.
And there it is. There's target market right there. Middle-aged man doesn't even... I'm surprised he has a phone.
Those are our people.
Typing this on my flip phone.
Thank you, Joanna's boyfriend, for that
wonderful review.
Excellent review. All right, so let's see. We got one more I want to get to here from Mark Borga. Says, when I first stumbled across the Photobomb podcast about a year ago, I literally listened to every single episode within a month or so. Now it is painful to wait for one episode every week, which is a good reason to give us reviews so you can get that extra one.
There you go.
But they always deliver a great mix of chit-chat, humor, photography news, business advice, and more. I listen to Gary and Boo-Ray while I walk my dogs or drive, and they are always a welcome sound, regardless of what they're talking about. Keep up the great work, guys. Isn't that nice?
That's fantastic. And let me ask you, and that's something, too, that brings up something about podcasts, though. When people do podcasts, they always do them like they assume people are coming in, new listeners are coming in right now. Do you do that? Or if you go and you're like, I'm going to check out this podcast, do you go back to the beginning and listen to them from the beginning?
No, I don't think I ever. Unless it's an episodic kind of some sort of serial type of a thing.
Right.
Where, you know, like
you just hop right in.
One of our mutual favorite podcasts back when we started doing this was Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Right.
And that, I think you really need to go back to the beginning and start because it's a story, a narrative, even though it's improv, that builds on itself over time.
Right.
And so if you just jump in, I feel like you'd miss a lot of the jokes.
Right. I at least go back through and look for, you know, if there's a guest I want to hear or there's something. I'm like, oh, I definitely want to, you know, because I listen to a lot of podcasts that are interviews with, you know, actors and comedians and stuff. So I'll go back and look for that. But then there's others that, like the Kevin Pollak talk show, I probably went back and listened to almost every one he's seen, and he's been on for 4 years.
Yeah. I don't have a history of doing that only because, you know, I just, for some reason, my brain, I want kind of the most recent stuff. But right. I have gone through, like the BBC puts out one called Kermode and Mayo's Film Review, and they've had so many great guests over the years that I'll go back and I'll listen to some of the guests or they'll do one when a big movie comes out, and then they'll interview people from that film and give interesting perspective on that. So sometimes, but most of the time, I'll jump in. I may go back one or two for context, but I've never go back through and listen to a podcast all the way through that I can think of, except for probably Hello from the Magic Tavern or Serial or something like that.
You know, we need a stinger for when we're going to actually start talking about photography news. Like, you know, it's time for photography news. Photography news!
Ah.
You know, like a stinger. But then you'd have to go insert it in, and that would be a pain.
Yeah, well, then we'd have to make... Do you want to do one like an a cappella one?
Maybe that's what we should do. We should create one and make it a thing that we do every single week.
Right, okay.
And then in harmony.
Okay. All
that
right.
We would do like a little photography news jingle. And then we do it right up to the point where people are so sick of it Because whenever I listen to a podcast or anything that has something in that, I get so sick of it so fast. It's like, just move on. I don't need to hear your stupid jingle.
I got
so
you.
Then we'll
got
have you. To decide when that point is.
I got this. How about this, something like this? Let me just ad lib a little.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
It's too long already.
Photography news. We won't guarantee it's all about photography.
No, it's too long. Just like photography news. That's it.
Okay, we do this like photography news.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like just like hey, you know what? It's time for some photography news. Photography news, and that's it.
News.
Yeah, some photography news.
News.
It's never gonna work. All right, it is time for some photography news, though.
It is. I just realized because of the Skype time delay, we're never going to be able to sing a song together.
No. It'll sound horrible. Horrible. That will be part of its charm. And it'll give people something to write about in their review.
News.
Love the show, except for that horrible thing where they try to harmonize. All right. So let's talk about the trip to the desert with the wombats and the cacti and everything that comes with this conference. That doesn't want to be called a conference that you brought to my attention today.
Right. Okay. So here's the backstory. I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a photographer. So she's a photographer. She's about 23 or 24. And I was asking her about her feelings about PPA and different associations and WPPI and what kind of stuff she's into, who she follows, things like that. Just sort of gauging what it is that, as a photography educator, I could do to engage more with people that are younger than me coming up to continue to stay relevant in the industry. And she brought my attention to this one particular event that's called Yeah Field Trip.
Okay.
It's called Yeah Field Trip.
Okay.
Say it again, James. You missed it. Yeah Field Trip.
All right. It's the Yeah Field Trip.
The Yeah Field Trip? Is that what it is?
Yeah. The Yeah Field Trip.
So if you want to check this out, it's yeahfieldtrip.com. And so essentially what it is, it's kind of like Bonnaroo for creatives. And it's not strictly a photography conference, although I think photography and video are a big part of it. So they go out basically to the desert and they have these courses. And I looked at the page of instructors, and I've not heard of a single one of them. And that doesn't mean that they're not great or that they're not talented, no, by all means. But it just means that there's a whole area of photographic education, about creative education, getting together, these types of things that I completely am unaware of. And so looking at it, I was like, oh, okay, so this looks pretty cool, whatever it is. And then I realized it's the same time as WPPI, which is a big conference. And not only that, it's a few months later, I'm in Virginia this past week, and I'm talking to Michael Joseph, who works for Canon. And he was telling me, I was asking him, I said, hey, MJ, are you going to be at WPPI this coming week? And he said, no. He said, I just got the paperwork from Canon, because he's a specialist. He goes out and he helps people with questions and works in the Canon booth at all the different events and stuff. He goes, I just got my paperwork. He says, I'm going back to a thing. It's called Yeah Field Trip. And I thought, oh, man, okay, I think I know what that is, and started talking about it. And he started telling me all about it. And it's basically they're in the desert. And they take pictures and they have classes, and some of the classes are based on like wellness and mental health, as well as in the creative space, as well as photography and video and other types of artistic endeavors. And here's the thing though, the different brands, Canon, Fuji, Sony, even Kodak, they're all sending reps and gear down there so people can like touch and feel and play and check out and take pictures with their stuff. I mean, they're like really, really paying attention to this, coming out with these different types of events, these kind of alternatives to photo conferences, and that you know that it's important that the brands are seriously paying attention to what these things are doing now. So I presented this to you this morning, and I'm really very excited to ask you this next question. What you think?
First of all, I have to there's a couple of ways to approach this. And first of all, there's the approach it from the perspective that that if I was ever to be asked to go speak at this, I would be honored and love to do it. And then the other side of the perspective is, how much weed do I have to smoke while I'm there? Because it appears to be that there's going to be a lot of weed smoking.
Oh, there's no question.
Will there be a mud pit? Will I have to be naked in the mud pit?
Will there be a bathroom?
Will there be bathrooms? Because when you look at the description of what it is, there's just a whole bunch of words. And I don't think the word photography is actually in there. So I really am curious to see what it is. But then you click on some of the teachers and you go to the websites and it's not all, you know, like new age hippie teacher who does nothing but give seminars. No, no, it's like wedding photographers that are good wedding photographers. So they've got real teachers. They've got some real teachers in there. So I feel like it's selling itself as this new agey thing. But at the same time, maybe at its core, it actually has legitimate, you know, solid teachers and you know, the brands coming out and et cetera. But they're wrapping it up in this feel-good, new age kind of bow.
Yeah, it's a repackaged version of the same thing. You know, it's just, it seems like the content is focused. I've never seen a photography conference where they have any kind of focus on, you know, mental wellness. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing that's very, very important because, I believe my particular theory is that there is a very high preponderance, and yes, I get points for using that word. It's a very high preponderance of people who are creatives who work in a creative profession that suffer with some kind of anxiety or depression or something along those lines. I think that the creative professions attract people who are prone to those things.
Well, it's one of the ways they manage themselves.
Right. Absolutely. 100% nailed it. Like, that's how do you make yourself feel better? It's art therapy. And so I think that's a really interesting part of this conference. Initially, you want to go, my question is, okay, so it's a bunch of young hipsters, and I would go there and I would play Count the Jaunty Hats. That's basically the game that I would play. But then when you look into it, it looks like they've got good teachers, good content, and it seems actually kind of fun. Like, it keeps saying it'd be kind of a fun thing.
That's the other side of it. You want to go, I'm going to be cynical and dump on this, but then you think, I bet they're having more fun that weekend than I am.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll be at WPPI that weekend.
Oh, well,
so
there you go.
Probably
it says
not.
It says it's not a festival, but you will experience community and the arts in a very freeing human way. I don't know what that means.
Smoking the weed.
Is that what
smoking
that?
The ganj.
Smoking
the ganj. Oh, yeah. No, I was told on by a source that I will not name that there is a preponderance of the
magic herb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay.
Indeed.
All right. So. Yeah. It's interesting. It's certainly an interesting concept. And if anyone listening to this is attached to it in any way, yes, I would love to come. Please.
You can, there's
please
no
invite me to come speak. I will come
to
speak. I will wear my Renaissance fair clothing and my jaunty hat.
Yeah, a puffy shirt, a leather vest.
That's right.
Although not real leather, because that's cruel to animals.
That would be wrong.
And then
I will teach you how to shoot outdoors and light outdoors like you've never been taught before, and also talk about mental health at the same time, because I'm an expert at managing that.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
Mean, can you imagine what it's like managing this mental health? This
Yours?
Is not easy.
Yeah. Living inside your brain must be
a
nightmare wrapped in a riddle.
You think like I come across as crazy? This is the managed Bure that comes across as crazy. You can only imagine what it's like if I'm not managed.
Yes, understood. Well, I think that this is kind of poignant because for conferences, the more traditional conferences, one of the things they're lacking sometimes is they want to know how to engage sort of millennial and younger people in what they're doing. And this conference seems to have their finger on the pulse of that,
right,
in one way or another. And so I think that's a really interesting thing. So we'll post a link to it on the Facebook page, and then you can tell us if you would be interested in going to a conference like this, and why or why not. That would be pretty cool. And if you're not following us on the Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/photobombpodcast, and you can engage with us there and see. We post links to all of the stuff that we talk about. So check it out. That's yeahfieldtrip.com, and go check it out and tell us what you think. We'd be interested to know what your perspective is. And also, if you've ever been, just answer this one question. How bad does it smell? Just kidding. Seems like a really cool time. I think I'd be interested to check it out for sure.
All right. So moving on to the next topic, which is a follow-up to last week's show.
Okay.
So if you were listening for the first time and you didn't hear last week's show, you might want to go check that out first. We said that we would follow up on this if there was any news. And boy, was there new news.
Boy, howdy.
Regarding the Lisa Saad or Sad?
Saad, I think.
The Lisa Saad controversy. To catch you up a little bit from last week, Lisa Saad is a photographer in Australia, and there's a website called StopStealingPhotos.com, and one of the things that it likes to do is call out other photographers or other websites or anybody who is stealing photography. And they had posted a bit where they had said that some people had suggested that this many, many award-winning photographer from Australia was in fact stealing the photographs that she was using in her work. And so they asked, you know, the people who, you know, what do you guys think? Some of this stuff looks like it might be whatever. What do you think? Very quickly, she was approached by Lisa Saad's attorneys who said she needed to stop and desist and she needed to issue an apology, etc. Here's the thing about StopStealingPhotos.com. I've met the person who runs this website. Nicest person you ever want to meet. But if you come at them and you say that you threaten them and say, you must apologize for saying this thing, for saying I did something wrong, you better be damn sure you're not doing something wrong. Because they're going to find it if you are. And boy, did they. The follow-up on StopStealingPhotos.com, I lost track at 40 or 50 examples of clip art images, etc., that they pulled that Lisa had been using in her work. It's devastating. And there's been some professional fallout as well, right, from the competitions and stuff, Gary?
Well, here's an interesting part about this. And just as if you don't feel like going back and listening to the previous episode where we talked about this, full disclosure, this is someone that I know. Lisa, right. These are images that the majority of these I have judged at one competition or another. In several cases, I challenged and advocated to score these images higher and fought passionately for these images in competition. And so
they're amazing images, incredible images.
Right, there are awards that were given to these images that I had a very significant hand in making sure that had happened. And so that kind of burns me up a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I really want your, as a judge, your take on how you feel about this.
Well, aside from that, you just judge what's in front of you, so I can't be mad. The images are truly spectacular. They are, however, according to all the available evidence, plagiarized. Now, so much so, and I wouldn't get on board with this except for both WPPI and the SWPP in London have issued statements to the fact that of the consequences of having done this. Now, I know very well the people who run both competitions, and they would never publish anything or make anything public or bring down consequences like this had there not been something to it. They would never do that without doing their due diligence. They would never do this on a rumor, and I think that that's very, very important. And so just a brief statement from the Society of Photographers, that's the SWPP. It says, let me get down to the nitty-gritty of it here. It has been brought to our attention that a range of images submitted by an Australian entrant for both competitions and qualifications, that would be the equivalent of getting our degrees in PPA, have not been submitted in accordance with the rules of the competition. Since the complaint was logged with our office, the team have been in contact with numerous international photographic associations, judges, representatives of the industry, our in-house team, as well as, of course, with the entrant themselves. We would like to take this time to thank the members for their patience whilst we investigate and resolve the complaint. As of Monday, February 18th, 2019, we have taken the decision to disqualify all images entered in the competitions, remove the fellowship distinction, and terminate the membership of the entrants in accordance with the terms and conditions of membership outlined in the members' handbook. Decisions like this are not easily or quickly, and of course, are not made easily or quickly. And of course, our main concern is to protect the interest of the photographic industry whilst giving the entrant every opportunity to defend themselves satisfactorily.
Do you think that there is, because let's also make this clear, the problem is that she entered these images into photographic competitions where the rules state you must have created the images yourself that are in the composition.
Every element must be created, even if either composites are allowed, but even in the case of a composite, every element must have been created by you.
If she had entered these into an artist competition, in many cases, she'd be perfectly okay. Because in an artist competition, you are allowed to use other people's element because it's really about how you put them together.
That depends on the competition. As we discussed, right, there is no category either at WPPI or in SWPP or the AIPP where you are allowed to enter anything that you did not create, even if it's just a one element in the image that I'm aware of. Even in their artistic categories, you have to have created all the elements yourself.
Oh, okay.
Now, the difference is...
You can't use any stock art, even in the artist category.
Correct. So if you are in the International Photographic Competition for PPA, that artist competition does allow you to use other elements. For example, if you were to do photo restoration of an old photo from the turn of the century, and you could enter the work you did there. The purpose is really for people who are professional retouchers and artists and not necessarily photographers to be able to enter and participate. And so that is the main difference. So these images, even had they won awards in the artist category for PPA at the International Photographic Competition, would not have been disqualified.
Right.
It's because that what she submitted were against the rules for the competitions. And again, I don't even think it would have come to light had she not won pretty much every award you could win with her work. Like, she really took all these awards and trophies because the images are truly spectacular.
Here's what I find interesting is that if you go to the website and you look at where that the source that they used for finding all of these stock images that she used, that source is Lisa. Lisa has a folder that she distributes to her students of stock imagery for them to use when they are trying to learn how to do what she does. All the stock imagery in there is stuff she has actually used in the work that she has received awards for. That seems to me to be so incredibly boneheaded that it almost makes me say, is it possible that she just never read the rules?
I think that's entirely possible. However, I don't know that it's very likely.
Who says I'm going to break the rules by using all this stock imagery in my stuff, and then I'm going to take all that stock imagery, I'm going to put it in a folder, and I'm going to distribute it to a bunch of people that I'm teaching in class. You're just begging to be caught. So that move right there just makes it seem so that maybe you didn't know. If you knew, you would bury that stuff as deep as you could bury it.
Well, that last part of the letter from the SWPP was, could we take this moment to remind all photographers to comprehensively read the rules of all photographic competitions before entering, and above all, abide by the spirit of the competition to share their passion of photography. Now, that comes from Phil Jones, the CEO of the Societies of Photographers. Now, let me tell you, that saying earlier in the letter that they spent a significant amount of time speaking to her and then putting that at the end makes me say that might be what she is now saying. That is speculation completely on my part. But it sounds like she might be saying, I didn't know that was against the rules. Where at first was she saying, no, I created those elements. Those aren't stock elements. Or I don't know. But it's involved. It's unfortunate. It was completely avoidable because I don't think that there's a single element in the images that she could not have created herself, as talented as she is, you know, and that's the crazy part. It's just really legitimately just a time saver.
But it's a huge time saver. If you go through these images and you look at all this stuff, it's like, oh, here's a biplane. Well, you got to go out and take a picture of a biplane now, you know, and that's only one of 1,000 elements that she puts in. Here's a leaf blowing in the wind. Here's a piece of paper curled up and blowing in the wind. Now you've got to go, you know, you could spend a half a day trying to get the right, a good picture of a piece of paper blowing in the wind, but you
Which
can find that on stock
it
in
to
5
not
seconds.
Have the abject humiliation of being
absolutely
pulled down in front of your entire all your colleagues.
Oh, absolutely. You should do it. You absolutely should do it, but the idea that she could have done all of this work easily by putting her own images in, oh, it would have been so much more work if she'd used all her own images.
It would have been more work for some of the elements, but like a dove? I saw one of a white dove. Like, that was a clip art. Like, you got dove? You can't... A dove? You know? Like, you got to do a dove. Or a tree. It was a tree with bare branches. Like, come on. A tree with bare... You can't find a tree with bare branches. And the way that you... Even if it wasn't exactly perfect, you could manipulate it later to make it perfect. And as far as being some of the elements that were used like this in these images were just a tiny, 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 tiny part of the image.
Well, what bothers me... What really bothers me is that so much of the clip art that is used in these images does not appear to be photographic clip art. Part of what makes her images so cool is that they don't look like photography. They look like illustrations.
I'm seeing all the
clip art that was used, and if you look at the original clip art, like I'm looking at a flag that would, you know, from a golf course flag, right? That's not a picture of a golf course flag. That's a drawing. That's an illustration of a golf course flag that she put into her picture and then entered in a photographic competition. Not only did she not take that picture, but it's not even a picture. And her whole thing is that her pictures look like illustrations. Well, guess what? They are illustrations. They are largely a collection of clip art, illustrated clip art. They're not even photographs.
Yeah. That's, and again, if she put that stuff in IPC, it wouldn't have made a big difference in the artist category. It would have been nothing. She'd have still scored very high and done very well, and it wouldn't have been against the rules.
She's, you know, an incredibly cool work. Incredibly cool. Great work. Yeah. But not so impressive now that I realize that those aren't pictures.
Well, it doesn't make any difference when compared to what it looks like when it's sitting in front of you, does it? You know, it's still a fantastic imagery, and nobody could tell the difference. So what does it matter?
Well, it matters to me.
Now that you know.
Well, no, it matters to me because I think it's cool. But if I saw this, I'd go, that's cool. That's cool graphic design. But I wouldn't say that's cool photography. And then when you say to me, no, that's photography. Ooh, now I'm impressed. But come to find out, most of this is in fact just graphic design, and it's not. There's not photography. In which case, I'm like, okay, well. I'm looking at several of these going, yeah, I could have done that. Give me that folder of clip art. I could have done this, sure. You know right. Me, I'm only impressed if you're doing something I can't do.
Yeah. Like getting new granite countertops?
There you go.
Is that a good callback?
Yeah, that's what impresses me is doing something I can't do. But, oh, my God. And I feel horrible for the people who came in second.
Well, that's the thing, is I think in these cases, many of these people who came in second are going to now have come in first. But who wants to win like that?
Well.
And they didn't get to go up on stage right. And accept the awards. They just get a letter that's going to be like, oh, by the way, now you're first because first got
disqualified.
Right.
And that's, yeah, so they lose their moment.
Man, what a bummer. Yeah. And incidentally, wow. Just to follow up, this is from the WPPI, the annual, which is what they call their competition, their Facebook page. WPPI competitions rules specifically prohibit an entrant from submitting another artist's work, using any stock photography images, or using any portion of a photograph not personally captured by the entrant themselves in their submissions. Following a thorough examination of past entries, we have decided to rescind one member's past WPPI awards and honors of excellence points. She will not be permitted to enter any WPPI competition for 5 years. WPPI supports artists' rights and the intellectual property of our photography community. We cannot condone plagiarism.
Oh, man. Ugh, the whole thing just it makes me sick. I mean, not icky. Not mad sick, just, oh, God, to be in the middle of this would be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's pretty icky. I'm only, like, barely touching part of it, having judged a couple of them, and I feel nauseous over it. I really do.
Yeah,
I feel pretty icky.
Yeah, it's a shame when this stuff happens.
So, incidentally, we're going to move on from that and talk about happier things, like the new Canon EOS RP. It has now been officially announced, and I just wanted to touch on this and say that I've seen it.
Okay.
And I've read some more comprehensive reviews on it, and I think that it looks pretty cool. It's not for me, but I do see what I think Canon is doing here, coupled with things like knowing that all these brands are out at Field Trip and going stuff like that. I think they're really making – they have to make these cameras in order to pay for the better camera that's coming.
Right.
So I think you're going to see, because, you know, they got to sell, they sell like 20 digital Rebels for every 5D Mark IV they sell.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe even more. And so these cameras give them the money and the resources to do research and R&D and development of cameras for their smallest market, which is pro photographers. For all camera companies, their smallest market is typically going to be pro photographers, especially companies like Canon. So are they the biggest camera company as far
Canon?
As the big ones that pros use? They're bigger than Nikon.
So. Yeah, I think so.
Sony's probably equivalent because it just makes so many things.
Well, oh, yeah. You know well, I mean, if you're talking about totally as a company, I'm sure Sony's
right.
bigger than Canon is.
Yeah, right. So as far as the other stuff goes, I think that they just, you know, they're moving more towards that prosumer market, which is much, much bigger. And we'll see how it goes. But from what I hear, a rumor that we should expect a 100 megapixel camera in the next year or so.
Yeah, that's a woo.
Yeah, that's a big old. Not sure what to do with that, but I'll be really excited to see it.
Really
when it comes
excited.
Out.
Hey, did I ever tell you this? Speaking about the Japanese brands, I might have mentioned. If I mention this on the podcast, then stop me, and you can go back and find it. Did I ever tell you about how the Japanese
stop.
Companies?
Okay, go ahead.
How the Japanese companies will frequently adopt someone, literally adopt them into the family if they're going to be the president? Yeah, okay. Let me lay this out to you. You work for Kawasaki. Okay. Kawasaki is a family brand, right? Okay. And the top dog at Kawasaki, the president of Kawasaki, is Mr. Kawasaki.
Right. Gotcha.
And you're the vice president, Mr. Umbato, right? And Mr.
Did
Kawasaki.
Did you say Mr. Roboto?
Umbato.
Oh, Umbato.
Domo arigato, okay. Mr. Umbato.
Mr. Umbato.
So, yes. Mr. Umbato, I have no idea if that's a name or not. I just popped that off. Do not mean to be disrespectful at all. But I don't know a good Japanese name. Miyagi. You're Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi,
and you're from Osaka, Japan. You have a nice dojo there, and you are the vice president of Kawasaki. And the president of Kawasaki, Mr. Kawasaki, has decided that it's time for him to retire. And he's looked at his own family, etc. No one's right for it or whatever. And he's decided that you, Mr. Miyagi, are going to be the new president of Kawasaki. He then adopts you. You are a 45-year-old man. He adopts you so that your name becomes Kawasaki. Because Kawasaki is owned and operated by the Kawasaki people.
How does Mr. Miyagi's family feel about this?
They are honored.
You think so?
It is considered an honor to reach that level within a company where you are adopted into the family so that you can carry on the company. It is considered an honor. Yeah.
An honor, you say?
Yeah. Because you know how they are in Japan when it comes to business. In Japan, your business status is very much a part of your social status. And so even though he's a big vice president and everything, Mr. Miyagi at Kawasaki, and that's nice, it's not the same as being a Kawasaki. And if you are adopted in the Kawasaki family, that's like an anointing by the queen, you know, the tap on the shoulders, not you, ha ha. And so, yeah, it is considered an honor. And they will actually, and this story I'm telling you, pretty sure is an actual story. When I actually heard this story, it was about the guy at Kawasaki who was being adopted into the Kawasaki family. And it was considered an honor. Isn't that something?
So is there a Mr. Cannon or Mr.?
I don't know.
Mr. Nikon?
I don't know. But I know for a fact that Kawasaki is a family name. And that's why, but not the only one. There are other companies that will do that. Because ideally they want to pass the mantle down to a son or a daughter to run the company, but sometimes they just don't have, you know, they're idiots. Sometimes they just don't have
you look around at your progeny and they're a bunch of nose-picking, mouth-breathing morons.
And you're like, I'm not giving over my company to you, Junior. I'm giving it over to this guy who's helped me build the company for the last 35 years. But that you know, and here's the thing that would get me, though. What if you're the son of Mr. Kawasaki? And Mr. Kawasaki's like, not only am I not going to give you the company, but I'm going to adopt your uncle Miyagi over here. And give
Miyagi,
him the name.
You have brought great shame. Great shame.
There you go. Pretty sure that we could get a letter just for that impersonation.
Yeah, well, that's fine for all of our listeners in Japan. By the way, to our listeners in Japan, because I happen to know that we have a few, I would like to say thank you guys for all the awesome stuff.
Yes,
you're making life over there better. And by the way, you have also made unprecedented levels of porn more acceptable in the United States by you guys really pushing that stuff onto the market. So thanks.
All right.
Thanks for that.
Good to know.
Really.
All right.
Good stuff.
So yeah. So anyway, that's just a little something you might find interesting about the Japanese culture.
So if I do well enough, become a canon employee, do well enough, I might get adopted.
I guess so. I mean, I thought that sort of stuff was kind of dialed back. I mean, because you remember 20 or 30 years ago, it really came to light how much the corporate culture really permeates everything in Japan. But I figured by now, social media, worldwide influence is probably not as much, but it's still there. It's still very much the corporate culture is a big deal. You ever see the movie Michael Keaton about the car factory that was being taken over by the Japanese? Gung Ho. And he goes over to Japan to pitch that they should come and take over this factory. And he comes into a room where all of these executives they've got these ribbons on them and they're crying and just shouting these things. They're all being punished because they didn't meet their projections or whatever. And they're doing this thing. And he's like, hey, you might want to wear those. And the guy's like, they're being punished. These are ribbons of shame. And Michael Keaton leans over and goes, you might want to wear those on the inside. and that was the whole Japanese culture of how being an executive was such a big deal. Working for a company, your whole life was the company. But I thought by now, that had, you know, faded away a little bit. In much in the same way that in America, you rarely go to work for a company and spend your whole career there. But apparently, no, they will adopt you in Japan.
And they give, so you adopt Mr. Miyagi and give your son the ribbons of shame.
I don't know. Now, if you adopt Mr. Miyagi, then does his whole family become a Kawasaki? Or is it just him?
Does his whole family fit on one Kawasaki?
I don't know. I had a Kawasaki, by the way, in college.
Did you?
Yeah. My first new vehicle ever was a brand new Kawasaki motorcycle.
You drove a motorcycle?
Yeah, exclusively for a while. For like a year and a half, it was my only vehicle.
Like one of the street bikes and one of like the road looking choppers.
Chopper style. Oh, okay. I didn't have the bullet bike.
Yeah, you didn't have the legs for it. It's fine.
We called them crotch rockets.
We call those future hood ornaments.
Yes, you had to have a death wish really to have one. I've driven one, but at my age now, it's not a comfortable bike. You'd rather have a big chopper. But I'm not allowed. I'm contractually forbidden by my wife to own a motorcycle.
Same. Yes. Always wanted one. Not allowed to have one.
No.
So
yeah, I many times I'm like, come on, I just want to get, because I was a biker. I had a motorcycle. I rode exclusively. She's like, no.
I wore chaps.
No, you I did. Didn't wear chaps. But
yes, you did.
No.
You did?
No.
Okay, you didn't.
No. I just wear jeans,
sure?
And stuff. I'm positive.
Aww.
Assless chaps.
I bet you if I went into your closet right now, you got a pair of chaps that's older than me.
No. Do not have a pair of chaps. I grew up in Louisiana. You wear a pair of chaps in Louisiana. You're just inviting the butt kicking if you wear that in Louisiana. Are you kidding me? I had a group of guys make fun of me one time because I was wearing fingerless gloves.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah,
but on a motorcycle, it was just easier to hit the buttons than the switches.
Fingerless gloves have never been cool. That's usually, don't like, if you're wearing fingerless gloves, aren't you supposed to be standing around a trash can fire for
yes.
some reason?
Singing a hobo song and cooking some stew. Drinking
a hobo song.
Drinking wine from a paper bag. All right, we have to wrap this up.
Yeah, we're going way downhill. But hey, we got a couple of things coming up for those of you who are hearing this before the weekend of the 28th. WPPI is coming up, and I will be there doing a lot of stuff, all kinds of different things. My class is sold out, but still, come hang out. It's totally fine. And so go to WPPIonline.com, I think is the website. And after that, the next thing I think I got coming up is what's coming up in March? April, Texas School. I'll be teaching a class at Texas School, a pre-con, a one-day class on all about the headshot business, and I will be setting up and showing my whole workflow, how I shoot a volume headshot job, and that's pretty cool. So I don't think that they're capping the amount of people they're putting in that class. So we got almost 100 people signed up for that class right now. So get on there, go to Texas PPA's website, or just Google Texas School of Professional Photography, and I'll also post a link to that on the Facebook page. And don't forget, take 2 seconds. Since you're just about to tune out now, take 2 seconds and go to go to iTunes and drop us a review. As long as it's funny, interesting, and cool, I will happily read it out on the show. If it's not funny, interesting, or cool, thanks for it anyway, but I'm not reading your boring review. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I'm coming up on May 19th. I'll be speaking in Daytona. Many speaking dates this year, but that's the next one that's coming up, May 19th. And we'll talk about that more when we get closer and help you find the details on that. You can find us online at facebook.com/photobombpodcast. You can find us at photobombpodcast.com. You can find Gary at hughesfioretti.com. Mm-hmm. You can find me at blueraperry.com. And you can email us questions@photobombpodcast.com. We'll see you back here next week.
See you later.